This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Hi, and welcome to Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. You can find us online at www.njrevolutionradio.com. Follow us on all the social medias and get us wherever you get your podcasts from. Today, I've got a guest here, actually at Weed Man's Joint is where I'm conducting this interview today.
Correction. NJ Weed Man's Joint.
NJ Weed Man's Joint.
New Jersey Weed Man's Joint. Yeah, I put a whole lot of PR into that New Jersey. I rep New Jersey.
So this voice you're hearing, this is Mr. Ed Fortune. Welcome to the show, Ed.
Thank you, thank you.
So let's plug the joint first off. Where are you located here?
I'm in Trenton, New Jersey, 322 East State Street, directly across the street from City Hall in the state capitol, Trenton, New Jersey.
And it's a restaurant. You serve various chicken wings, vegetarian food.
This place is more than just a restaurant, though. Yes, there's a restaurant. Yes, we serve chicken wings, hamburgers, fish, vegetables, you know, a few munchy foods, munchy things. Then we have what we call a sanctuary. Our sanctuary is where I encourage people to smoke marijuana, I encourage people to meet. People who come here, I feel like they're part of my congregation. Officially, I have a corporation, which is a religious corporation called the Liberty Bell Temple. And this is the Liberty Bell Temple. The sanctuary operates as the Liberty Bell Temple. It's a registered religious corporation. I have won a couple cases in California based on it. I have not actually had that argument here, even though I had primed myself for the argument, and they arrested me for some other stuff. That's a whole nother story, I guess. But we also have a courtyard in the back. Again, I call it the Cannabossum Courtyard, which is the Latin word for cannabis. Again, I encourage people to smoke marijuana back there. I encourage people to network, to meet, partake. A few other words I could throw in there. But this is a meet and greet place. The whole facility I consider it a meet and greet place. And I'm catering to the cannabis consuming community. I want potheads to come here, or medical marijuana patients, or social users. I hate using the word recreational. Recreational sounds like you're doing push-ups and smoking joints. And that's not what we do. We socialize.
But I guess someone could do push-ups and smoke a joint if they want.
Yeah, I guess they could. I guess that would truly be recreational. I said, but really what you do is you socialize, and most people socialize. So I call it social use. And then there's religious use, which I definitely make a point of bringing up. And by the way, these new legalized marijuana laws here in New Jersey don't have any exemptions or any provisions for the religious use. So I'm actually going to immediately challenge the laws just for that fact.
Let's get into that, because that's we're ultimately going to get around to talking about jury nullification, which is one of your things that you're a major advocate for. But let's start off with the religious exemptions. Rastafarian, are there other religions that
are? Yes, there's Rastafarians. There are Buddhists that use it. There are, there's even some Coptic Christians use it. There are, but you don't have to follow some particular form of religion to do a religious thing. You know, marijuana, ganja, Shiva, whatever you want to call it, has been around for a long time and has been used religiously for a long time. Now, the major religions, Catholicism or Christianity has rejected the use of cannabis. Most of the Muslim sects have rejected the use. But that doesn't mean that doesn't make it religious still. And if you have a right to choose your own religion in America, why can't you choose your religious practices too? So there are some people who do use marijuana spiritually, religiously, even medically, but because of religious reasons. You know, there are people who look at certain drugs as defiling their body, but they do not look at putting marijuana in their body, is defiling their body. They look at, say, the first book of Genesis in the Christian Bible. You know, all seed-bearing herbs are good. That's what marijuana is, a seed-bearing herb. You know, there's numerous other references just in the Christian Bible, which actually amazes me how many Christians are opposed to marijuana use when it's right in the Bible. Even the substance anointing oil. Anointing oil has cannabisum in it. Cannabisum is cannabis.
Huh. This was not something I know.
The anointed one. Who is the anointed one? Come on, who's the anointed one? You don't even have to be a diehard Orthodox Christian to know who the anointed one was.
Well, I'm not Christian at all, but okay. I'm going to assume Jesus.
Jesus, okay. So the anointed one, if you even follow the Bible, he at least had to have it on his head. Because right. You took anointed oil and at least rubbed it on your head. At the very least, you can say that Jesus at least had anointing. He's from that part of the world. That's where they make anointing oil. The Syria Becca Valley is probably where the best hash in the world comes from. Marijuana grows all over the Middle East. If you believe in the Christian Bible and you believe Jesus was from that part of the world, then he had to be at least around the substance that we now call marijuana. Back then they called it cannabis. It was definitely in. It's in the Bible. You know what? Right now I wish I could just grab the Bible and look at it. I don't want to say the wrong verse right now, but I know the verse. It's a whole recipe for anointing oil in the Bible.
Really?
And in the Bible, yeah. So you can look it up. And again, I don't want to say the wrong. Oh my goodness! I usually know this, but I'm having a brain.
Well, in the show notes,
right now.
I'll try to look it up and link it in the show notes
I'm having a brain
because I certainly don't know where it is. But you know, luckily, you know, this won't go out for a little while.
It's a book
so
that
I can look
with
it up.
An E. Oh my goodness, I'm really having a brain cramp. Sorry about that. Well, I'll use some medical marijuana.
So anyway, okay. We're moving along.
But what I was saying was, the bills that are being passed in the state of New Jersey right now don't have any inclusion of the religious use, which actually is contrary to several federal rulings in this area. There's several federal rulings that cover this area that specifically say if you're going to make a law, you're going to have a secular exemption. Like, say, for right now, we have criminal law of marijuana. They've made medical exemptions. They made a medical marijuana law, which is an exemption to the criminal law. There should also be a religious exemption, too, because there are rulings that say that if you make an exemption for secular reasons, you also have to make it for religious reasons. For religious reasons. So I think it's a case out of New Jersey, basically went through the U.S. Supreme Court called FOP, Fraternal Order of Police versus City of Newark, and that's what that case basically said. And that case was really about Muslims with beards that wanted to wear beards as police officers, and they were denied. But they were also told, though, but if they shaved their or if they refused to shave their beards but claimed that they had a medical reason, which is secular,
right,
a medical reason, they would allow them to keep their beards. But because they didn't want to lie, they didn't want to say they had a medical reason. They wanted to say they had a religious reason. They argued that they should have a right to an exemption to this rule on religious reasons. And they won.
The parallels are obvious.
Yes,
there.
So the ruling is actually like the same. We have criminal statutes that say that marijuana is 100% legal, illegal. But they've made a medical reason for an exemption to that. My argument has always been, then fine, if you're making a medical exemption, which is secular, mm-hmm. then you must, according to these rulings, make a religious exemption. And a religious exemption would be allowing the religious use of marijuana, not even a particular religion. And there's other cases of that happening. The peyote cases out west, the Native Americans using peyote. Mm-hmm. There's this Brazilian church. I can't remember how they say it, but everybody abbreviates it. They calls it the UDV church. That used substance. It's a liquid version of DMT. Right now, I can't think of the exact name of it. Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
They use that. There's laws that exempt the users of that. There are people who got persecuted in the late 90s and early 2000s for that, and then some point in 2005 or 2006 they won their case.
Right. You can go to a retreat and do that.
Yes.
You know, exactly. Like out in the Southwest.
Right. Exactly. So I've always felt like you should be allowed to do it here. And when I set this place up, I was expecting that fight. That fight never came. Other ridiculous fights came.
Right. And now we're a couple of days away from when they're going to be discussing the legalization bill. I think they're set for the 25th now.
Right.
You'll hear this after then. But they're, you know, the state is discussing legalizing it for some people now.
And that's why I'm doing my protest on the 21st. I figured it'd be in the paper over the weekend, the 24th, 23rd. These politicians would see it. That'd be a topic of a conversation on the 25th. And I hope it persuades people not to vote for it, and it fails.
All right, so let's talk about what your protest is going to be.
Okay. My protest is going to be publicly. I haven't named exactly where I was going to do it yet. But wait a minute, you're going to hear this afterwards. So my plan, actually tonight, I'm going to put out a teaser. I'm going to pick four places where I might do it. And the four places are in front of the New Jersey Supreme Court, down on Market Street. And the Attorney General's office is there too. Right back in front of Governor Murphy's office, which I did that actually before.
I saw the video of you selling clones in front of the state house.
Exactly. I also have picked the prosecutor's office, Mr. Onfrey's office on South Broad, could be one place, or I could just flat out just do it right here. I haven't decided yet where I'm going to actually do it, so I've posted it all over the place. I've posted that I was going to do it, and people are inboxing me like, where? They want to join me, or they want to
buy something. Right, I'm sure a lot of people want to support you, or else the press want to come out and see it.
Right, exactly. So today I'm going to put out the teaser of where it's going to be at. So we'll see. I think I would do it here.
It's certainly easier to do it here.
Yes.
But by the time that you get my listeners here, that you'll know where he chose to do it.
Yes.
You'll have heard about it in the papers, or we'll have reported on it on NJRR already. Mm-hmm. And let's move into a little bit, which is really what I really want to educate you guys about today, is jury nullification. That's how you're planning to get out of these, or get not found not guilty for selling weed like a white guy.
Jury nullification. I have been talking about jury nullification as long as I've been talking about marijuana legalization. And one of the things I've always said was, if people engaged in jury nullification in mass, we would defeat the marijuana prohibition. This is what happened historically with the Fugitive Slave Acts in America. It happened during the 1920s and 30s with the alcohol prohibition. It happened, to be honest with you, it actually happened in the 40s and 50s also. I didn't agree with the results of those, but to be honest with you, during the 40s and 50s, a lot of the white on black crimes were condoned using jury nullification. All white juries would refuse to convict persons accused of attacking or assaulting or killing or lynching black people. And then it was also used again, which I think was positive, during the Vietnam era. During the Vietnam era, draft dodgers, people refused to go to Vietnam, were acquitted of cases even though they were guilty. And I think it's long past due that people started using jury nullification to end this war on marijuana especially. Now, let me kind of quickly explain jury nullification first. We all know that you have a right to a jury trial. The founding fathers of this country, most of them or some of them were basically victims of the King's government, the British government. And one of the things that came out of some of the cases out of England, we'll say English common law. All law in America is really based on English common law. There was a case in England of a guy named William Penn. William Penn
refuse to comply with the king's English, the king's religion, I mean. In England at the time, the only religion that was allowed was the Church of England. William Penn was a preacher, and what he did was he went to the city center and he preached his Quaker religion, gave a Quaker sermon, and he was arrested, along with a couple other people. I think it was John Mead and John Barrow, I think, was arrested also. But anyway, he fought his case. He argued that he had the right to freedom of religion. He could say any religion he wanted. He said what he wanted. But he was prosecuted under those laws. But the jury that was picked by the king, still said not guilty. When they said not guilty, the king refused to abide by their orders, actually punished the jury, fed them bread and water for a while, and continued to persecute not only William Penn, but then the jury. Well, long story short, after a series of debates, arguments, and what they call the Star Chambers, the jury was then given the power to acquit in the face of guilt, and the jury was given the power to say not guilty, no matter what. So William Penn was freed. We know the history of that. William Penn later came to America, actually to Pennsylvania. He founded Pennsylvania, the whole nine yards. But his case became a very historical case in England. When he came across to America, the founding fathers of this country incorporated the things that happened in that case. Like the First Amendment could pretty much be tied back to William Penn, the freedom of religion, freedom of speech, the right to petition for redress of grievances, all can be tied directly to William Penn's case. The Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate yourself. You don't have to speak. Again, it goes tied back to William Penn. Penn chose to speak, though. The Sixth Amendment right to face your accusers came from William Penn's case. The Sixth Amendment right to have an attorney to assist you was out of William Penn case. The right to confront witnesses both for and against you, all out of the William Penn case. And the Seventh Amendment right to a fair trial. Like, of all the people who were instrumental in making this country the greatest country in the world, of all these, William Penn has to be up there. And he wasn't even an American citizen at the time. He came over to America, as we know, he became one of the colonists. He was awarded a charter. To be honest with you, he was really punished by getting expelled to America. People, the good argument is he came to America. No, he pretty much was expelled as a troublemaking Quaker out of England. Get rid of him, send him over to one of the colonies and give him something there to just get him out of our hair. And that's what they did. And he founded Pennsylvania. And the founding fathers of this country, the signers of the Declaration of Independence, the writers of the original Constitution, they all knew William Penn's story. They all knew it. It was actually written in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And, you know, the guys like Alexander Hamilton, Ben Franklin, John Hancock, all these guys knew. Patrick Henry, I think Patrick Henry was already dead by the time the Constitution was written, though, because he said, give me liberty or give me death. And the British obliged and gave him death. So he did sign the Declaration of Independence, but he wasn't there for the creation of the Constitution. And matter of fact, all of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were facing death at the time. But anyway, we're going to fast forward it to now. Now, we're at that point in history where I think jury nullification could be very, very key in ending the prohibition on marijuana, just like it ended the prohibition on alcohol. During the alcohol prohibition, basically from the Volstead Act's enactment in 1919 until its repeal in 1931, there were very few convictions. The law did say that, you know, you couldn't have alcohol. People were charged with it. But when they were charged with it, they ended up with a jury trial, and the jurors just pretty much said no. I mean, some of them had drinks at lunchtime, and they would come to court for the trial, and they'd say no. They weren't going to convict somebody for having alcohol when they themselves used alcohol. Well, We're at that point now where so many people smoke marijuana, so many people believe that marijuana should be legal. Our laws are wrong, they're outdated, they're based on lies, they're based in racism, they're based in exclusion, they're based in all kinds of oppression and prohibition as opposed to freedom and liberty that this country was founded on. And I've been saying, basically since the late 90s, that we should utilize jury nullification. I've had several cases in the last few years, and each time I've tried my best to incorporate jury nullification. I've bumped heads with prosecutors, I've bumped heads with judges about it. I still squeaked off and did it. Maybe not as openly as I wanted to, but definitely open. Everyone knew what I was doing. And, you know, I won several cases based on my belief in jury nullification, my planning, my defense to basically question the law. And here we are now. New Jersey is planning to legalize marijuana. That should make me happy. But it doesn't, because that legalized marijuana is only for a few. It's not for everybody. It doesn't not include me at all. It's only for a few very rich white guys. They will be allowed to sell marijuana. They will be allowed to grow marijuana. They will be allowed to possess large amounts of marijuana. Everyone else, poor whites, poor Spanish, poor everybody, will be illegal. It's only for rich white guys, generally. Corporations that reform, multi-million dollar corporations that bribed our politicians to write the law, the new legalization bill, to cater to them and exclude us and keep us from being really legal. So it's one of the things I'm going to do is protest. My plan is to protest by selling marijuana just like the white guys they're planning to. Now, people kind of laugh, like, well, how's that going to help anybody? I was like, well, tell that to Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks clearly knew the law said she couldn't sit in front of us. She sat in front of us anyway, and her protest of sittings started other people, started boycotts, and eventually the law was changed. Sit-ins at diners that Martin Luther King did purposely broke the law by sitting in diners, coming to order at the front of the house instead of the back of the house where blacks were supposed to order from. This was a peaceful civil disobedience designed specifically to break the law publicly and to seek the public's help and support in a jury trial where the juror members would find the law was wrong and say not guilty. But we're at that same point, people, with marijuana. What I plan on doing, selling marijuana publicly, I want to be arrested. Matter of fact, I think the prosecutors have a dilemma, because if they let me do it, then of course I'm going to do it every day. If they arrest me, then I prove my point. The rich white guys get to sell marijuana, while the poor black guy still gets prosecuted. And I want the world to see that. So to arrest me would be giving me my podium. To let the rich white guys do it, we're supposed to have equal protection of the law, and we're not. The governor of this state ran on legalizing marijuana, diversity, and inclusion, when actually there's no diversity, very little diversity. There's a whole lot of exclusion, and I'm excluded. And this is why I'm protesting. And I'm openly advocating for jury nullification. I'm openly advocating that my jurors, I speak enough about jury nullification, any one of my jurors decide to Google me, they're going to see jury nullification. They're going to know. They're going to understand. People, the press will probably write about this as my trial gets closer. They'll write about jury nullification. I hope they do. I hope this video itself ends up in a courtroom setting, because I'm doing it on purpose. Everything I'm doing is on purpose. There's a method to my madness, people. And it's not just because I've smoked too much weed. Because to be honest with you, I haven't even smoked any today. I tell you what you should do is Google jury nullification. Google me and jury nullification, because I explained it in writing a lot better than I just did in speaking. There's a lot of information about jury nullification. There's a book that I always recommend people to read. It's called The Evolution of a Doctrine, Jury Nullification, by Clay Conrad, who is a nationally known lawyer out of Houston, Texas. At one point, he was the president of one of the criminal justice associations. But There's a very good book. It really explains jury nullification. It explains the history of it, the evolution of it, how it's been used, how it can be used in the future. I'm basically doing exactly what this book said. This is jury nullification. I say not guilty. I'm guilty as fuck. But I still want to be found not guilty. And the jury has the power to do that. The jury has the power to utilize their own conscience to render a verdict that's reflective of that conscience. So if a jury member watching all the evidence, and what if they agree with me? Yes, it's the law, but he's right. That is unfair that he's not allowed to sell marijuana like these other guys. And they can utilize their own conscience, their own render a verdict that's soothing to their own conscience and say not guilty. And there's nothing anybody can do. Prosecutor can't do anything to them. The judge can't do anything to them. The government can't do anything to them. And that's thanks to William Penn and the Star Chambers verdicts from 1670 in England. So it's like it's the whole history to us. So you got to follow it.
I want to represent myself. When you represent yourself, you get to speak. You represent yourself, you get to become a person, a human, to the jurors. As you're picking the jurors, you're going to bond with some of them, not others. But the thing is, when they bond with you, then they don't want to put you in jail. And we know they have the power to utilize their conscience, and that's what I'm going for. I will be conducting my defense in a way that says the law is wrong, you shouldn't do this, I did nothing wrong. That's pretty much what I'm saying, I did nothing wrong. And this is what I want the jurors to invoke their right, their veto power, and just find me not guilty. And this, if that happened, it really would only be about me. It wouldn't be some kid all of a sudden that, you know, it happened to everybody. But what I would be wanting to do is lead by example and have anyone caught with marijuana to argue these arguments, to make being prosecuted for marijuana as worthless and as useless to the prosecution as what happened during the alcohol prohibition. After a while, prosecutors knew they couldn't get cases, so they stopped even charging people and stopped indicting people and just, you know, and then ultimately the Congress saw that the people weren't in support of it and they repealed it. This is exactly what I think should happen with marijuana prohibition. Because, yeah, everyone's talking about legalization. This legalization, this SB 2703, is a phony bill. It shouldn't even be called the legalization.
Right, it's legalization for a few people. Yeah. Like a few very wealthy corporations can sell it.
The Marijuana Corporation Act or something
Lines. It's purely designed for the capitalist class. Right. It is not designed for the working man.
Right, and if I got caught with a pound of marijuana under this new bill, if it became law tomorrow and 2 days from now I had a pound of marijuana, I'd be charged with possession with intent to distribute, and I'd be facing prison time. So how's it legal?
Right. It's just not the most ridiculous that you see these almost boutiques set up. Now, I admit, I go into the medical dispensaries. Mm-hmm. I buy there sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they're like a little boutique. Like, you know, it's like you're going to a spa, and there's, you know, all the smiling, you know, service industry people there. And that's perfectly legal, but somebody else who's been doing it for years, mm-hmm. the person you've been relying on to get your marijuana from for the past however long, it's illegal for them.
Yeah, think about this. Right now, it's still illegal. It's been illegal for a long time. Besides, in the last couple of years, you have a few people, 40,000 or so, that have medical marijuana cards, okay? Besides them getting their weed now, legally, everyone else and them too, prior to that, all 100% got their marijuana illegally here mm-hmm. in New Jersey. Right now, 100% the black market supplies the marijuana to the potheads of New Jersey. And they're getting ready to pass this law that will keep all of us illegal. We'll still be illegal for doing that.
You can still go to jail for it.
Yep. But they're creating this class of people that they will be allowed to sell, possess, grow, distribute, whatever, marijuana. And the rest of us aren't. I mean, even, listen, you know what? I even know the history of the word marijuana, and there was a time there that I wanted to say cannabis too. But now, because all these juppie types have taken over the world, the marijuana industry, and they keep on trying to force people to call it cannabis, I refuse. I'm weed man. It's weed to me. And I'm stuck with using the word marijuana. So, you know, to all yous out there, you snobs, you prudes, you new age potheads, fuck you. I'm using weed. Marijuana. You call me a racist, I just laugh and smoke another joint.
So, with jury nullification, basically a juror can say, I think this is a dumb law.
Yes.
I think that this is a wrong law. I think this is an unjust law. Yep. I'm not going to find somebody guilty for it.
You can actually do that. I touched on a few cases sometimes. You can talk about what happened to, say, the Emmett Till case in Mississippi in the 50s. You can talk about, or you can do the exact opposite. You can talk about the O.J. case in the 1990s. In that case, the O.J. case, it became pretty apparent that there were black women in a jury refused to put O.J. in prison. And they looked at it and they saw every flaw in the state's case as being somehow justifying letting it go. And they said not guilty. The same thing back with the Emmett Till case. It was the all-white jury felt the same way. These white guys who were on prison and jail, being prosecuted, because they weren't even in jail. They were being prosecuted for killing Emmett Smith because he was supposedly whistled at a white woman. They felt that that was wrong and they weren't going to find these guys wrong. So they said not guilty. So those are two extreme cases of jury nullification. But the fact of the matter is, it's been used a lot more for regular cases. There are times now it's used, but it's like hard to identify because jurors don't have to answer anybody's questions. But there are plenty of times, hung juries especially, it happens with. There might just be a couple people on the jury to decide, you know what? I'm not finding this guy guilty. He's learned his lesson. He doesn't need 5 more years in jail. Look what they just did to him. You know, there are things like that happen. And they will hang a jury. You know, that happens a lot. In my case in Burlington County a few years ago, I didn't lie. I admitted that the pound of marijuana was mine. I said I wanted it. I used it. The prosecution, you should order the prosecutor to give it back. Like, I said all these things. You know, I said, you know, they called me the weed man. Like, would you expect me to get caught with a nickel bag? No, I got caught with a pound of weed. A pound of weed is really not that much. A pound of weed to me is about what a carton of cigarettes are. Isn't it cheaper to buy a carton of cigarettes than to buy a pack of cigarettes every day? Well, I buy pounds at a time instead of nickel bags at a time. That's kind of what I told the jury. And they found me not guilty. That was jury nullification. You know, a lot of times people don't even want to admit it, but I was guilty. Everyone knew I was guilty. I didn't even hide it. I was guilty. I just couldn't sign no piece of paper and go to jail. I was not guilty. And I had this whole hashtag NJ can't get 12. Can't get 12. Even this, if I do this protest, which I am, I do this protest, I start selling weed like a white guy. Eventually, whether it happens on Thursday or not, I think I'll get some type of police action and I'll get some type of prosecution. And that's what I'm going to argue. The law's wrong, not me.
And the justice system or the injustice system is so afraid of juries having this power. I've been called to jury duty before where the judge says, you know, if you're a jury nullification activist, get out. Like, you're excused. Just go home. Like, it's a great way to get out of jury duty. It then lets you actually want to be on the case.
Right.
Like,
yeah. But see, a jury nullification activist should know not to say anything.
Right.
You know, they should know.
Right, they want to be there.
But see, that just because you know about jury nullification doesn't mean you're going to invoke it.
Right.
I mean, you can sit on a jury and some dude murders somebody and you know everything about jury nullification in the world, but you're not letting this guy go. You're
right,
convicting him.
You're doing it out of a moral reason, yes, you know. Yes. You're doing it because
These
laws are stupid and these laws suck, that we're not crafting good legislation. Yeah. And that's what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah,
so, it is an activism.
So if you were a jury nullification activist and you ended up on a jury of some dude for a weed case, you would say not guilty no matter what.
Right.
And that's, I think, what happened to me in Burlington County.
And that's what you're thinking is going to happen again with this case.
I think it would even be more obvious this time. Now I have the whole backdrop of they're making it legal. And this guy was prosecuted at the 11th hour as they were making it legal for these white guys. And what he was saying was, you're making the law so they can do it and I can't do it? No, I'm going to do it anyway. Give me 12. And then they realized that they are the 12.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's exactly what I want to do. That's the purpose of this. And, of course, I also, it's for the immediate impact, not even the long term when the trial comes, the immediate impact. I'm basically openly saying that the black market is not going nowhere. We're going to be here. We're selling. You excluded us from this law, so I'm going to protest the law, and I'm going to say I'm going to basically boycott it. I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm going to do it way more publicly and openly now, and I'm going to get public opinion on our side. And if I can get a, imagine if 1,000 people in the state of New Jersey just decided to just
openly sell.
Yeah.
And probably doing it at half the price. Let's not forget
absolutely half the price. And who doesn't want to buy weed from the local guy you know and this, that, and the other, and go to one of these little, you know, white brick corporate buildings with sub quality marijuana from some little yuppie kid that doesn't know nothing anyway? And, you know, there are a lot of people that, like, they want to go to the hood dude they've been going to for years, or the
weed. You get a better quality stuff too. Like, I've been smelling what you've been smoking. Yeah. It smells delicious.
Well, I get passionate if you want. You know what? I'm so used to smoking by myself that I forget the past. And so many people here have weed that, you know,
right.
Just sit and smoke. But okay. Yeah, it's but that's what I'm. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to put that consciousness in the air. What better way to do it than do it publicly and have 2 or 3 newspapers write about it? 500,000 people to see it. You know, just say to Trentonian, NJ.com, and one of the TV people show up. 500,000 people will see it. That doesn't mean 500,000 people agree, but Trentonian has 100,000 followers. NJ.com has like 500,000 followers themselves. And then any television network in this area has a couple 100,000 followers. So, yeah, I would want to put it in the air.
Maybe, and you know, future. We're here for you. Yeah. Whatever you want to say, whenever you want to make a statement, we're NJRR is 100% behind you.
Well, I tell you what I'm going to be doing. I'm actually in the course of rewriting. A few years ago, I wrote this thing. It was called like the 420 Declaration of Independence. And it was kind of modeled after our U.S. Declaration of Independence. It was something I had done at some protests in Philadelphia at Independence Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I plan on reading the new version that I'm writing of the Pothead Declaration of Independence prior to selling. And I'm going to FaceTime the whole thing.
Nice.
So I'll be FaceTiming it. I'm going to FaceTime me reading my declaration. And when I start yelling, $20 bags here, $20 bags of high-grade marijuana. The first one would have been Franklin. The first one would have Bill. You know, not Ben Franklin, Jackson. The first one would have Jackson, you know, whatever.
Right.
I'm not sure how. But I'm going to make a mockery of it. I'm going to hope at some point.
They're making a mockery of it. You're just pointing out the absurdity of it.
Right. If the police don't come, I might even call myself.
There's a guy selling weed in front of the state house.
Yeah. Or at the joint. Or at the prosecutor's office. No, I already told you where I plan on doing it.
You're right.
But anyway. Yeah, that's where I'm going with this. You know, some people think I'm goofy. Some people think it's ridiculous. Some people think that you're putting a whole lot of hope on 12 people. But you know what? Like, I would really be counting on a hung jury. There are people that may just like, but it's the law, it's the law. And they may do it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be so many other people. And this, you know, the funny thing is, prosecutors, judges, they always tell the jurors not to look it up, not to read anything, all that stuff they tell them.
Uh-huh.
It's the 21st century now. We all got our cell phones. We got the information right at our fingertips. You tell somebody not to look up something, as soon as they walk outside, they're looking it up.
Right. People do not like to be told not to do something.
Yeah. When you know, I counted on it in my last 2 cases that would happen. In fact, my last 4 cases that would happen. That that the people would look me up. When they look me up, they find not only do they find the marijuana arguments, they find my jury nullification arguments, and then they realize that I'm talking to them.
Right.
So a lot of things I'm talking, like sometimes I if you put in NJ Weedman's message to his juror, you'll see stuff that I actually said, like knowing that one day there's going to be some jurors going to Google me,
right,
and bam, there it is. I'm giving them a message right now. You don't have to do this. You know, I tell people all the time, just Google it. Just Google NJ Weedman's message to the juror.
So this is a question I always ask everybody as we're wrapping up the interview here. And I think you're going to be a different sort of answer here. Do you consider yourself optimistic about what the future holds?
I mean, you have to be. You have to look up. You have to. And legalization isn't perfect, what they're proposing now. We're just going to limit it to this conversation on that. It's not perfect. I think time will help. But how many years will it take to fix it? I think they're going in the wrong direction from the beginning here in New Jersey. I think California did it a lot better. I think Colorado did it horribly. And New Jersey decided to copy Colorado's model. And, you know, so I don't know. I think things like this, protests like this, people refusing to comply. I think what they're trying to pass in New Jersey, while, you know, that version kind of works in Colorado, is not going to work here. It's too many minorities, too many people who are like going to be complaining that they don't get a piece of it. Out there is very, very few minorities in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it without, there's like one. It's like one minority store the entire state. But then there's like only like 0.5% minorities in, or blacks in Colorado. We're here in New Jersey. I mean, we represent 12-13% of the population, and to create an all white industry here would create people like openly. You can see it, you can feel it, you can want to be a part of it and can't be a part of it and stuff like that. And that's what's going on. That's, I don't know. So I think optimistically, yes, I think it'll get better. Yes, it'll get better, not only from people like me saying something, but there's plenty of other people around. Even the grow parts, you know. There's some people that are really, really adamant that they think they should be able to grow weed.
Mm-hmm.
I totally support them. I'm totally down with that too. It's just that very few people talk about the issues I talk about. So I take it upon myself to take up those issues and speak for those issues. But I'm a legalizer, have been a legalizer for 20 something years. All forms of legalization I agree with. You know, I want it all to be legal. But I just don't like this particular bill and how it's written and how people are excluded, including people like me.
Yeah, it's, you know, I see, like, speaking of the home grow, that Stockton now, the university down by me, mm-hmm. has a cannabis minor now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I think every Stockton student had a cannabis minor when I was there, or like closet botany minor, yeah, one of the two, yeah. You know?
You know, the potheads are going to be the one to take that class.
So it really is.
How does
the
teacher get certified to teach that class? Like, I thought about that when I was reading it. I was like, is this going to be like some book review on,
you're actually going to meet cannabis at the forum, which you'll, my listeners, this is after, you'll hear this after the forum. At the forum, the director of the cannabis minor is going to be at the forum, so you'll get to meet Dr. Sedia. Like, she's actually awesome.
So do you smoke? I'd be like, so first thing, like, to get some credibility, do you utilize marijuana yourself, or is it just a substance, a statistic for you? That's what I would ask. I don't know, just to figure out where it's going to go.
But I want to thank you so much for this interview. It's been amazing. I can't wait for my listeners to meet you. And hopefully everyone will get to meet you at the forum too. And, you know, anything you need at any point in time that we can, if we can help you here at NJRR, get messages out or whatever, just mm-hmm. let us know.
Definitely.
To my listeners, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. We are
nothing without you guys. We are here to be the voice of the activist community. That's our one reason for New Jersey Revolution Radio. No one covers us, so we started covering ourselves. And without you guys, we would just be me and Brian talking to each other in a room. And that would not be very exciting. So we want to thank you guys for what you do for us. And we hate to keep asking you this, but we take no corporate money here. We're anti-capitalist. So if you could possibly go on to Patreon or go on to PayPal, click on that donate button. We appreciate it so much. The future is yours to create. Go out there and create it.